Goodness, praise God. You know, there couldn't have been a better introduction. Pastor Mac doesn't know that, but I just felt like this morning, you know, we should have this in our hearts all the time, but I'm going to ask Pastor Mac if he couldn't pray for the service before we start this morning. And you know, as I was getting ready yesterday, you know, just reminded in Ephesians 4, you know, the Bible says that God gave pastors, right? He gave them. They are a gift to us. They're a gift to the body. He gave pastors, teachers, apostles, preachers, right? They're a sown life for us. And we just want to honor Pastor Mac. We want to keep him in prayer. You know, it's not easy. It's wonderful. But, you know, we need to keep him in prayer. And I just felt led to ask you if you wouldn't mind, instead of me praying, to open the message this morning, if you wouldn't mind doing that.
Amen. You know, the Word of God in and of itself has power. But we have to prepare the vessel. That's key to get maximum benefit out of the Word when it goes forth. It has all the power and all the provision right with it to accomplish that which God wills and desires for you and I. And so I just pray that your heart this morning, your spirit would be open. I welcome the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We give you free rein this morning. Change our hearts. Make us ready, Lord. If we're not ready, make us ready. That the word, the seeds would be planted that would explode for your kingdom glory, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. You know, I just wanted to give honor again to the pastor of our house here. And, you know, he's the authority in the house. And so his that's an important thing. And we do pray for just blessing and protection over your household and healing from the things that have been happening. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I also just want to say, you know, it's just an absolute privilege. I guess that's part of our message today. It's just a privilege to partake in anything of the Lord and certainly to share his word. And I just want you to know that I count it a privilege to do anything in the house of God, and particularly to have the opportunity to share the word with you this morning. So we do thank you, and you know, there's been a lot of talk of burning hearts and being a flame for the Lord, and I was just, I'm going to start this morning. It very, very much is where God's leading us this morning, and last week I was just thinking during worship, didn't hit me yesterday when I was preparing, but last week Pastor Mac was speaking about redigging some wells. And I believe today's message is redigging a well. But we're going to jump in. And if I'm going to just read from Isaiah 55 to start. And that says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people." And then a little farther down, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as we jump in, I just, you know, this, we were in the healing room yesterday, and God was really speaking through this passage, and he was highlighting, you know, come and buy without money. We buy without money. Come and eat. He said, come, buy wine and milk. Milk and wine speak of the fullness, the full satisfaction in the salvation of Christ, the fullness. But he said, buy without money. We buy without money because Christ has paid the cost, right? The free gift of God, the grace of the cross, that we come and buy these things without money. And the title of our message today is Revisiting or Remembering Our Redemption. And, you know, I was just a few days back, and my husband and I do this all the time, sometimes in the evening, you know, we'll just sit there and we'll just start talking about Jesus because we need to. And everything changes, doesn't it? We need to talk about Jesus. We need to remember who he is. We need to revisit and dwell upon the redemption of Christ, right? And everything begins to change, everything in us, and we become full of God, and we can become full of joy and the power of God. And we need to speak of Jesus, and we need to speak of who he is. We need to speak of our redemption. And, you know, I honestly, there is nothing greater. Is there anything greater? There's nothing greater than the redemption of Christ. The only thing greater is Christ himself. As a believer, every heart in the room here is starting to come alive, isn't it? Because we're speaking of him. We've been singing of him all morning. Every song today was the same. Simple Christ. What he is. What he's done. Who he is for us. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Right? We're revisiting that. We're setting our eyes and fixing that upon him. There is nothing greater in your life. There's nothing greater on earth than the redemption of Christ. The only thing greater is Christ himself. God the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, our triune magnificent God. And I've been thinking a lot, and we all know it's true. And when you walk with God long enough, you know, no matter what I'm going through, he is the bread of life. I have this gift. He's the God of eternity. Right? This life is this much. He's the God of eternity. And our soul and our spirit comes alive. Is that correct? It's coming alive now. I can feel it in the room. It's been coming alive all morning, but we need to practice this in our lives. We need to, you know, sit ourselves down, and we need to, on a daily basis, you know, we're just going to talk about Jesus. There's a radio show called Let's Talk About Jesus. My husband runs from church. He runs to his car. That's why he's running. And he goes and listens to Let's Talk About Jesus. What's his name, the guy? Wayne Momblow. And he loves it, and he comes home, he says, oh, I never get tired of testimonies. Never get tired of it. And you know, it's true, and we should never get tired. We never get tired. We never, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling down, let's listen to a testimony of Christ. Sit yourself down and really think about your testimony, and we're going to talk about that today. And, you know, yesterday, we had a young man come in, and there is just nothing better on the earth. There's nothing more wonderful. You know why I love the word? I love the word because it's the word of God, and I love sharing the word, and I love, to me, one of the greatest delights is seeing when that word and the truth of God begins to impact a heart. You can see it. You can see it. You can see, you can feel in the spirit when that has happened. And it's the most beautiful thing. I have the privilege of speaking on Saturdays to believers. We've had atheists dragged in the door, and the same thing happens. When we sit and we talk to them and we share truth and we share the love of Christ, and Christ draws near, and just his presence there and the truth begins to penetrate. And that happened yesterday, and it's the most beautiful thing to see that and to feel that. And that's why I said there's no greater privilege. And I wanted to start off this morning by saying that, because we need to remind ourselves even of the privilege. Even of the privilege. We can get used, God wants us to get comfortable with him, right? But we can get so comfortable that sometimes we can lose sight of the privilege, right? But we want to keep it fresh. And that hits me time and time again when I have that opportunity to sit with someone like that. And you know, people on the team began getting words from the Spirit of God. Three people came and gave me scriptures. They'd never met this young man, and they were right on. It's the Holy Spirit working in that life. The passage, I wasn't on the prayer team, but the very passage I heard was used is the one that I had my Bible open to that God gave me for that young man before we began to pray. So it's beautiful, the Spirit of God and how he works, and how he works to over and over draw us to redemption. you know, I have some scriptures that we're going to go through. 1 Corinthians 1:18, I've been thinking about this a lot, and this has been coming up a lot. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, are you in us? To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And again, I just feel today, and God quickened me during worship, that this is one of the wells to redig. This is one of those wells, is keeping the message of salvation fresh in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15-17. Sorry if I'm going fast. I can't see what's up behind me. Says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer for the reason for the hope that is in you. And I was seeing this in myself. I was watching myself the other day, and I said, wow, you know, when that message is fresh and we're interacting with people, the first thought in our hearts, the first thing that wants to come out of our mouth is, I just want you to have Christ. Whether, you know, we move and how God's moving there, but it's the first thing. But then we may become comfortable in our Christianity, and there's a lot of messages, right? There's a lot of things to share, and I'm like, God, I want that to be the first thing in my heart. What's happening? You know what I mean? I need to revisit. I need to remember. I need to get back and remember the redemption of Christ. Because he's a lot of things, but he's our Redeemer. He has redeemed us. There's a clear clarion message of Christ that we need to keep afresh in our hearts. And I'm going to, I told my husband I used the word, I said I'm going to read some swaths of scripture. That's okay. But, you know, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to read some scripture out of there that's going to quicken our hearts. I'd love to read the whole book, and I encourage you, whenever you can, get in Ephesians, get in the word, period, you know. But this is going to quicken us back. So I'm going to start in Ephesians 1, beginning, my eyes may play a little tricks on me here, verse 15. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's pause. In the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And if you're saved, that's you. I'm just going to pause here for a second. You know, and God wants us to call upon him for all our needs. But sometimes we need to take a step back. I realize he is every need we have. He is all in all. He is everything. He is everything. I heard John actually singing that out this morning. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age that is to come. You know, I'm so blessed, and I know you are, to have a close walk with Christ, to know him. He is my closest friend. He is the lover of my soul. He is my comforter. I praise God for his Holy Spirit every day. And he is a king. And he's a gracious king who extended the scepter to us by grace and allowed us into that place with him. And here's really where I think this is part of the redigging of the well. It's just remembering, and just God was stirring this up in me yesterday. So, part of our message that I'm going to go in, out of our mouth flows the abundance of our heart, right? And so this is what God was telling me. We have to be ready. We need to be full of him. We need to be thinking on these things, that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth, flows the issues of our heart, that he is first and foremost, and that the reality of my redemption is near to me. Though I grow, and I grow in all these things, that this is close to me. It says in chapter 2, and you, say me, everybody point your finger if you're saved. In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I know I see some serious faces, but we should really be smiling and just keep that close to us and keep that in close remembrance. Right? Just as the others. Just as the others. Right? We have to be careful sometimes. Right? We have to be careful when we're dealing with people or when our heart is responding to people. And that's why he's saying, keep it close to you, keep it afresh, because you were just as the others. Some of us looked really pretty back then. Some of us maybe didn't, but it doesn't matter, because we were sons of disobedience, just as the others. And God, by his grace, redeemed us. God, by his grace, redeemed us. You know, a lot of things can happen in life. A lot of things can happen, right? There's another lot of reasons why God wants us to keep this fresh in our heart. He is our treasure. He's our pearl, right? He is the eternal lover of your soul. He is the one you will spend eternity with. He is the one that he says that nothing can take you from my hand. Though I may be poor, I am rich in him. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses. We were dead in our trespasses. Again, we may have looked pretty. Some of us looked a little prettier and primped up than others. It doesn't matter. If we didn't have Christ, we were dead in our trespasses. But Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us. He said he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me read a little bit further. Therefore, it says, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by his hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, lest we never forget. I remember what it was like to be afar off. I have been brought near by nothing else but the blood of Christ. I have been brought near. God brought us near by the blood of Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. I could go on. I could read that whole book, but I better stop. Sorry, I do have some other scriptures to share with you. Did I do that? Okay. Again, I'm sharing with you what God has been speaking to me. And this is what happens when you share with other people. They're getting what's inside of you, right? They're getting what's inside of you, and that's why God is saying you need to be full of me. This needs to be fresh in your heart. He was quickening me. You know, you need to be filled up. I spend a lot of time with the Holy Spirit, but he said, you need to be filled up with me. You need to be full of the testimony of Christ and of his word. You know, another just quickening scripture for us that reminds us of the grace of Christ, John 6:14, it says, you know, no man comes unless the Father draws him first. And it says, and I will raise him up on the last day. That God even drew you. This is of rejoicing. This is of remembrance. This is of remembrance. It is not of works. It is the gift of God that no man can boast. And when I'm feeling down or you're feeling down, right, we can remember that God, by his election, he said, no, I'm drawing you, and I'm going to bring you near to me by the blood of Christ, and nothing can separate you. You know, as we read in Isaiah 55 again, you know, he said, without money you bought. Come buy without money, wine and milk. Come and buy without money. We enter into the finished work of Christ. We reap where we did not sow. see. Colossians 2, 9-10 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Again, this is cause for rejoicing. I just want to read, you know, Romans tells us, you know, that there was not one righteous. Not one. Oh, I wasn't too bad, but he's, you know, when I read that way back many years, I said, yep. You too, Kim. There's not one righteous, not one ever. There's not one righteous. God says, not one who sought after me. Not one. Not one. Again, I know that puts a seriousness on our face, but God's intending to put a rejoicing on your face today and bringing redemption close to us again. And I know we carry it in a measure, but I think God is redigging that well, as Pastor Mac talked about, redigging that well and making it fresh, because out of the abundance of the heart, right, flows what comes out of us, out of the abundance. And that's where I want to be. I noticed the abundance of my heart had shifted a little bit. Still saved, still loving God, still a worshiper, but where is the grace? Where is the clarion message of redemption? Where is the arrow that I want you just to know Christ, that Christ can save you? I want this fresh, fresh, fresh Christ, the Redeemer. You know, I was thinking the other day, and again, I really, you know, the burning of our hearts. You know, when we're close with Christ, you will feel it, right? We don't have to have that physical manifestation, but that does happen. Either way, you can tell when your heart is burning, whether you're feeling that or not, because of, again, where our spirit, where our heart is, where our words are. But I was thinking about the disciples who were on the road of Emmaus. Remember, a few things had happened. A few things had happened, just like some things happen in our lives. They were walking with Christ, but then Christ was crucified. He was resurrected. They didn't know that. And they were walking down the road feeling lost and these things. And the Bible says that, and Christ drew near. It said he drew near to them. It's a beautiful picture. And because they were in a natural place, they were in a natural thinking, and they were thinking in a way that wasn't, they weren't expecting that, but their thought process had taken a higher place. Do you see what I mean? Like what I'm talking about, like what I'm saying I felt happening to me, their thought process, he's crucified, he's not here, I can't touch him anymore. And yet he drew near alongside them, and the Bible says they didn't recognize him. Though he was speaking, they didn't recognize him. And sorry, I'm just trying to find where I wrote that. They didn't recognize him. But then after, right, they said, when they realized that was Christ, they said, did our hearts not burn within us when he spoke the words to us? So what's my point there? My point there is the words of Christ, the closeness of Christ will cause us. Weren't our hearts burning? They still weren't even recognizing him. They didn't realize till after. But they're reflecting and saying, did our hearts not burn within us? And again, we've been talking about having our hearts burn, and there's just been coming up a lot. You know, I have a couple more scriptures I want to read, and then we're just going to, I believe, just present ourselves to the Lord and receive his workings. But Luke 6:45 says, you know, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and those with evil in their heart produce evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And then just this morning before I came here, God reminded me of a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And in Luke 1:46, Mary, we see her explode with the worship that's in her heart. When you read these words, you can just hear the explosion of the worship and the praise and the yieldedness to Christ, Messiah, King, Savior. He says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And so I think with that, I wanted to kind of close with a few points and reflecting on those words. You know, those words quicken me. Sometimes when I'm not in that place, I'm like, God, like Mary, right? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I won't go into all of Mary's life, you know it, but if you reflect on her life and what was going on at that time, God was doing something in her life that she was receiving that would cause great rejection, possibly death. Right? Young girl. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. let it be done unto me. Now, Lord, we just want to praise you today, and Pastor Mack, may want to wrap things up, and you know, that's really what I had to share today. I know you guys did the wick to start off. I want people to have a chance on the worship team too to receive from God, but I have it. I can put it on, or if you guys would like to play it, or we can just come before the Lord. And you know, if God's ministering to you this morning, if his word is speaking to you, if he's drawing near, then respond, and we receive, and let him transform us. He changes us from glory to glory. That's that ongoing, beautiful work of salvation, that ongoing, beautiful, redemptive work in our life. He transforms us. One of my greatest prayers I've learned to pray through the years as I close is sometimes I just say, God, you need to come get me. you need to come get me here, Holy Spirit, because I'm just not seeing my way out. My thoughts are just become worldly or entangled or whatever, and I need you to come get me. So if that's you this morning, and take us into that great place and redig that well of our redemption.